amen. Praise the Lord for the special music that we have enjoyed tonight. And what a blessing it has already been just being in church and being in this place. I trust you feel the very same way. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. Genesis in chapter 3, we started a few weeks ago a series on stress. That's something that seems like everybody is facing some type of stress or other. And if you don't understand it, all you're going to be doing is look to medicate the symptoms, and you're not looking to attack the root of the problem of stress. And that's important for us to do that. We never want to just treat symptoms. We want to get to the root or the source and then take care of the source. If you take care of the source, the symptoms will take care of themselves. They'll go away. And so we started looking at this, and as far as we look into the Bible, we find that the only stress-free environment that man has ever known was before the fall of man. And God created the heavens and the earth. He created the Garden of Eden, and that would have been the only stress-free environment ever known to man, okay? Praise the Lord for that. And we have that to look forward to at the end of our lives, or at the end of this world, and when we go into eternity, and we find that heaven is a stress-free environment. Amen? No doubt about that. But as far as mankind, the root of stress goes all the way back to the sin nature. And Adam and Eve, when they committed the sin, the root, the sin nature, it changed everything. It changed how they looked at themselves. It changed how they looked at each other. It changed how they looked to God. And it changed how they were able to function in this life. And so we read that, we studied that, and seen how all that evolved right there. Stress is a part of the sin nature. And everyone is born with a sin nature. And so everyone has the capacity within them to be stressed out. Amen? Now, a lot of other things will take place, and that's the next lesson we taught, is after we looked at the root of stress, the sin nature being the root of stress, then we looked at what happened in order for that stress to attack humanity. And first of all, it was what God allowed. God will inform all of us even more so. I think we do understand that through trials and testings that our faith is made stronger. And so God allowed Satan to tempt. God allowed Satan to tempt Eve, and through the process of Eve getting Adam and the two of them committing the sin that God told both of them not to commit, but God allowed things. Things that God allows into our lives can cause stress if we don't deal with them the way God tells us to deal with them. And if you deal with them, no matter what comes into your life, if you deal with it the way God tells you to deal with it, then you're going to be strengthened. And you can have the peace in the midst of any and every trial. You can have the help and the peace of God in the midst of the storms of life. And so whatever God allows, there is potential of something good to come out of it. But there's also potential of something very evil to come out of it. It all depends on how you handle those trials. And so what happened? What God allowed? What man brought on himself? He sinned. He brought all that on himself. There's no one. They tried to put the blame on everyone else, on each other and on the serpent, but actually the blame was on every individual because they had a free will and they willfully chose to sin. And when we make those types of decisions, then we bring that upon ourselves. We bring stress upon ourselves. And then what judgment changed? Once the sin came, then God judged the Adam and Eve. He judged the serpent. He judged the world, and everything changed. And we find that in all of those things, there is the potential of stress because it's associated with the sin nature. Amen? So hopefully those lessons were helpful in establishing the foundation of where stress comes from. And it's not a germ. Amen? It's not a virus. Amen? If you sit next to somebody that's stressed out, it's not contagious. Amen? It might stress you out to sit by somebody that's stressed out, but it's not contagious, all right? It's not that. It's associated with the sin nature of man, okay? So we have to understand that. That's what the Bible teaches us concerning the history of humanity and going all the way back. And once stress hit, once they had the sin nature, everything changed. And not only did everything change, but because of God's judgment, we find that stress will be passed down to every generation because of a sin nature. That sin nature is passed down to every generation through your parents. And so that's what we're looking at tonight here, is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. What did God do for Adam and Eve in helping them with stress? All have the potential of causing stress, everything we've talked about tonight. Stress is a part of physical life. There is no stress-free environment. Stress is a part of physical life, but it can be managed. What we need to learn how to do is manage stress. So let's look here. Stand with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Read down to chapter 4 and verse 7. Stress-free life is impossible because we have a sin nature, but a less stress is obtainable. Managing the stress from life. Unto Adam also, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. First thing God did for them after the fall of man. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and how, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you, we thank you for what we've already received tonight. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture, and we want to receive from you the help that's available to us as born-again believers in dealing with every area of life, but especially that area of stress. And I pray that you would just give us each one that understanding, that ear to hear what you have for us. Empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, in chapter 3 and verse 21, we find that God made them coats of skins in addressing their stress, the sin nature, the separation from God, the aging process, everything that took place. And we've already studied what happened, and it changed everything about Adam and Eve and how they looked at themselves, how they looked at each other, their relationship with themselves, their relationship with God. All the different things had changed. And so now we find God helping them. And what God had to do to start with is God made them coats of skin. There was a blood sacrifice, if you will, in addressing the stress. The coats of skin and God clothing them symbolized that of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to redeem them of their guilt of sin. Have to be able to take away the guilt of a sin nature. You have to be able to find a way to overcome guilt. We have to look to God and find the help that God has for us as we understand our own sin nature and some of the things associated with that. And so we find that this was symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 3 In Romans in chapter 3, I can read it to you, write it down, go back and study it. The Bible says much about the blood of Christ. And this would have been the very first blood sacrifice. Israel would later be taught to give blood sacrifices, and it was preparing all humanity for the ultimate blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." In His blood, Jesus Christ, it was established in the foundation of the, from the foundation of the world, that He would be the sacrificial lamb, that He would be the one that would take away the sins of the world. And so through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So we find there that as we find in the, go back to the beginning, this was from the foundation of the world, this was God's plan. And so what God helps them with this understanding of what has taken place, they've gotten this sin nature. God helps them, first of all, in dealing with this and everything that is associated with the sin nature by the sacrificial shedding of blood, and which is symbolic of Jesus Christ. Man in verse 22, and a lot of people have questions about this, and it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." And then it goes on and talks about how God took him out of the Garden of Eden. And the question there and the answer there, what we need to gain from these verses is man would not be allowed to live forever in a fallen world. Man would not be allowed to live forever in a fallen world. Our Garden of Eden was the Garden of Paradise. That was a stress-free environment. That is the closest thing that man would have ever come to in going to a place of heaven, the abode of God. But after man sinned, then God took that away. And one of the judgments of sin is death, and it was a death that Adam and Eve started to die physically, and they would eventually face a physical death. God would not allow them to live forever in a fallen world. And so we find that God took them out of the Garden of Eden, and He's placed them now in a world that is sin-cursed. That's where He's at. And so then we find in chapter 3, verse 23, all the way to chapter 4 and verse 5, God had given them instructions for their lives. He tells them what they're supposed to do in this life. He gives them instructions. And they, during this time, and this is a time, if you will, of innocence, and they were just to simply obey the commandments, the instructions of God. In every dispensation of time, man has been given instructions to test his faith. And there has been consequences when man does not do what God has instructed him to do, whether it be in the dispensation of innocence, or we go all the way through the Old Testament, the dispensation of law, that's Israel under the law, until we come into this New Testament church age, and this would be looked at as a dispensation of grace, if you will, and grace has always been a part of God's treatment of mankind, but this New Testament church age, we have the completion of the Word of God. We have the Old and New Testament scriptures that we are instructed to live by. And we are going to be judged according to what thus saith the Lord, what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word that He has given to us. And so God had given them the instructions for their lives. And as they now are reproducing, that sin nature has passed down to their children. And so God reveals to us what takes place in the first two boys' lives. And again, I think that is helping us and recorded for us to understand just how they were to deal with stress. God given them instructions. Abel was able to bring a blood offering. Not simply because that's what he chose to raise, but because that's what he knew that God expected. Cain, on the other hand, brought of the fruit of his labor because that's what he wanted to bring. And it was not according to what God had commanded him. and instructed him to bring. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because we have the completion of the Scriptures. Go back to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, write that these verses down so you can study them afterwards. But Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered what God wanted him to offer. Cain did not. The Bible says that by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, right in the eyes of God. So Abel, doing what God instructed him to do, was right in the eyes of God. Cain went against what God had instructed them to do and brought the offering that he wanted to bring, and he was not right in the sight of God. So the Bible says that God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Says, I want you to learn from that. We have it recorded so that we understand what took place with Cain and Abel. Can I tell you, because of what Abel did, he didn't have any stress. He's rejoicing with God because he had been obedient to God. On the other hand, Cain did not do as he was instructed to do, but he did that which was right in his eyes. Why should I bring a blood offering when I am a tiller of the ground? Let me bring of the fruit of the ground. Well, the simple answer to that is, that's not what God wants. So many people want to do what they want to do, and they don't take in consideration what God commands them to do. Before you know it, every man's wanting to do right that which is right in his own eyes, which is a part of history, human history, and what we've done. Well, Cain, the Bible reveals to us what happened to Cain. He was overwhelmed with stress. Verse 5, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Sometimes stress will come out in anger, confusion, spite. There's all sorts of different ways to respond to it, but if you will, breaking it all down, it comes back to what's taken place within you, led by the sin nature, how it is expressed outwardly. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now he knew, but he's trying to get Cain to realize, you're acting this way because of what you've done. You have this stress in your life based upon your own actions. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? As Abel's offering was accepted, and look at Abel. You don't see the stress in Abel. You see the peace of God in Abel. You see the joy of the Lord in Abel. You see a sweet fellowship with God in Abel. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And he would have pointed to Abel, and just like your brother. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So, God's solution to less stress was do well. If thou doest well, you wouldn't have this in your life. You wouldn't be acting this way. You wouldn't be dealing with things the way that you're dealing. Why? Because it's coming from how you have obeyed or disobeyed the commandments of God. And so the first thing and how that we need to be able to manage and the solution to the stress of life is, first of all, make sure that I am not committing sins that are bringing this stress into my life. Giving in to a sin nature that is the root of stress will eventually bring about more stress. Getting to the place where I think, well, I'm just going to go out and just get drunk, or I'm going to go out and get high, I'm going to go out and just forget about it all and just have a good time and living the way the world wants to live and doing what the world seemingly wants to do in order to relieve stress, Especially for the born-again believer, when you go out and do that, it might temporarily get you blocked out. But I guarantee you the next day, you're going to have more stress than you did before you gave in to sin. It's going to compound what stress you already have. Because sin, giving in to the sin nature, creates more stress. Committing sin is not the way to overcome or manage the stress in your life. Getting away from God and getting away from the instructions that God has given to us is not the way for a born-again believer to deal with the stress in your life. But committing to living a righteous life is the way to deal with it. Look to God and His instructions in your life, and if thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? If you do right in my eyes, can you not find my peace? If you do right in my eyes, can you not have my joy? If you do right in my eyes, will you not have my help? That's what he's telling Cain. Cain, the reason that the stress has overwhelmed you is because you have turned your back on God and you're living a life that is not pleasing to God. Proverbs chapter 3. In our Sunday morning Sunday school, we're dealing with wisdom and how important it is for us to have wisdom in making the decisions of life. In Proverbs in chapter 3. The wisdom of God will lead you to get saved. The wisdom of God will lead you to follow Him in believer's baptism. The wisdom of God will affect every area of your life, your decisions you make in life. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, we find the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." He said, "Son, sin not." Don't go out and go the opposite direction that I've given the instructions for. Do what I tell you to do. Live according to what I have given you instructions to do. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And then look what he says. If you do this, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What's that? Being obedient. Making sure that you're not adding to the stress by going opposite the will of God for your life. If you do what God says to do, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God has mercy and grace available to anyone that looks for it. Let not, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if you're reading this, you're saying, boy, that's the answer to a stress-free life. That's the answer to managing the stress in my life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll be better than any medication you can take. Yeah. Wow. On over in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 13 and 14. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Live life turning away from sin, and when we fail, and we will, we're sinners. We have a sin nature. We should never be willing to give in to sin. We should never plan on sinning. But when you find yourself sin, with sin in your life, the most important thing you can do is acknowledge a sin, confess the sin, and forsake the sin. Forsaking the sin says, God, I never want to do that again. God, help me never to do that again. I'm not only confessing that I'm guilty, but I'm asking you, help me to never do that again. That's forsaking. Not only confessing, but forsaking. And then you can have the help of God. And the help of God is what you need to be able to manage stress. Live life turning away from sin, and when we fail, look to confess and forsake it as quickly as possible for solutions to less stress. Solutions to less stress. That's what he's given to Adam and Eve. That's what he's given to Cain and Abel. Abel didn't listen. He went on to kill his brother. Or Cain didn't listen. He went on to kill his brother Abel, to only create more stress into his life, more judgment of God. The second thing we look at here, first of all, sin not. That's what you have to look at. Am I bringing stress into my life because of my unrighteousness? Am I bringing stress into my life because of sin? And because when I sin, I take myself outside of the protection and the blessings of God. God will not, cannot bless sin. God's over here saying, if you come over here, position yourself, I can help you with your stress. I can help you with whatever problems you have in life. God is a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek him, and you're seeking to come underneath God's umbrella, if you will, God's hand of protection. And where that, where God's hand of protection is those that are seeking the Lord and turning away from sin. Amen. So I've got to look at my life and say, all right, am I, by my answering what God's allowed, by my the way I'm dealing with what God's allowed, the temptation in my life, by what I'm yielding to in my own sin nature, about how I'm dealing with the ways of the world, am I committing sins that's bringing about all this stress in my life? If you are, then the solution is sin not. And when you have sin in your life, confess it and forsake it. The second help that he gives here, we find, and what we'll do is, once you look to get sin out of your life, to minimize temptations that would lead us to not do well. If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, we need to minimize the temptations that would lead us to not do well. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to look at your life, list the things that are causing stress in your life. What's causing stress? My marriage, my relationship with my children, my job, finances. I think we go around and everybody would have some other something that you say, no, this is what's causing all the stress in my life. Health. No, this is what's called. If you look around in this congregation tonight, everybody would have different things that you say, these are the things that are causing stress in my life. God wants to help you with those things. You're never going to be stress-free, but you can minimize the stress in your life, minimize the temptations that would lead us to not do well. After you've listed the things that are causing stress in your life, look to change how you view them. I'm not saying change what they are. I'm not saying get a divorce, throw your kids out in the street, let the creditors take your house. I'm not saying that. The stress is from within you. The problems of the world are going to be there. The battles in the world, the different things that you're going to have to deal with, that's in the world, that's part of it. How you are viewing those things evidently is not the way that you ought to be viewing them, because that is what you say is causing the stress in your life. Change how you view them. If you're not careful, Satan will blind you to seeing things the way that God wants you to see them. And if he can't blind you to seeing them that way, he's going to blind you from seeking the help from the one who can help you. Well, I got online and this person told me some things, and I got some counsel from this person, lives in New Zealand, but they had good counsel. And this person, come on, listen to me. The counsel that we need, the counsel of the Lord is what we need. God is the one that can help you with your stress. He's trying to give Cain the right counsel. Only Cain would just do it. Cain, you're not looking at this the right way. You're looking at it from your eyes. Why wouldn't I be able to bring the fruit of my labor? I'm a tiller of the ground. Just because Abel chose to raise animals and he brought of the labor of his fruit, you allowed him to do it, why can't I do it? Because you don't understand, from the foundation of the world, God wanted the understanding that it was going to be by the blood that you are forgiven. And so when you're making sacrifices, it's not about your thinking, about what God thinks. You don't know what God knows. You can't have the understanding that God has unless you just come to the place and say, I'm agreeing with him no matter what he says. If he's God, who would be better for you to agree with than God? If he created you, and he created the world, who better to agree with than the one who created us? When you truly have faith in who God is, it's a much easier to say, no matter what I think, what he says is more important than what I think. I'm not going to change the Bible to agree with my thinking. I'm going to change my thinking to agree with the Bible. What a great revelation that would be if everyone could get a hold of that. Today we're living in a society where even Christianity wants to change what the Bible says. Take out whatever you don't want to agree with. But it's the words of an almighty creator God. We need to change our thinking to agree with God's. Satan will blind us to seeing things from a Christ-like perspective. And he will blind us to how God would have us to address it. We maybe just need to be making better decisions. For Cain to get mad at God and kill Abel was the worst decision he could make in dealing with the stress of his life. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody with me tonight? Yeah. Amen. Come on, follow with me. This is good stuff. It helps. It'll help you if you get a hold of it. We're getting ready to close. I'm not going to keep you away from the Colts too much longer. Ephesians in chapter 4. Hopefully you're recording it, and that way no one talk about it, and it'll be all good. Ephesians in chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are you doing that? Minimize the temptations that would lead to stress. Are you making the right choices on how you communicate with others? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. basically breaking it down, don't go around and talk negative about everybody else. If you're saved, you're going to come under conviction. And when you come under conviction and you don't want to confess it, it's going to cause more stress in your life. Once you talk negative about somebody else and it comes back to you by somebody else that told them that you talked bad about them, that's going to create more stress in your life. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, don't block him out and don't ignore him, because that's going to bring what? More stress. It's going to come from inside of you. Let all bitterness. Am I bitter? Am I bitter because of this and that or whatever it might be? Look at your circumstances differently than what you're looking at them now, because they are the source of stress in your life. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Exactly what God was telling Cain. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. It could be the lack of your forgiveness of somebody else has got you eaten up, and they don't even know that you have a problem with them, but you do, and because you won't forgive them, it's causing you stress. You can't sleep at night because you're thinking about something else that somebody else has done, or that something that you've done to them, and you can't sleep at night. They don't even know about it. They're sawing logs. And you're staying up stressed out simply because you didn't say, Lord, I might not be able to forgive them from the sin nature, but with a new nature in Christ, I can forgive the unforgivable. In Christ, I can love the unlovable. Take that to bed with you tonight. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow. I think we need to look at things differently. I'm not telling you what's causing stress. I want you to tell yourself. What is causing, look at it from a different perspective. Look at it from something that God has allowed. And if God allowed it, there's a possibility of something good coming out of it. Need to start making better decisions. I love the way my younger daughter deals with her children. She said, "Nah, choose your words. Is that a good decision?" See, because there's good and there's better and there's best decisions that we make in life. For the born-again believer, you should not get comfortable with just making good decisions if there's a better decision to make, and even if there's a best decision to make. The good decision would be just going to love them at from a distance. I've heard pastors say that often. It's better to love at a distance than to fight up close. That's a good decision. It's better than to go out and fight. But is that the best decision? What do you think would be the best decision? Put it under the blood. Forgive them as Christ forgave you. The best decision. And let it go. Just let it go. It's easier said than done, but it is something you can do with the help of God, when you know it's the best decision. And by making the best decision, you can learn how to manage stress. The last thing I got to quit. Commit to doing more things that are right to do. Did you get that? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You're not doing well. Cain looking at your life, I can't see one thing that you're doing right. Won't you start adding to whatever you think you're doing right, add more to it. Being accepted by God will help you to overcome stress. Add something good. I've got all these things that are bringing all this stress into my life, and then add something that'll take your mind off of that, something that's good. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Bible says, In laboring, you ought to support the weak, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's somebody out there that is really in a lot worse shape than you are. Why don't you go try to relieve some of their stress? Why don't you go try to make them happy? Take away a burden. Put some shoes on some children's feet that the parents aren't able to afford to do it. Take some food over to somebody that's asking, praying God for something to eat. Add something righteous. When you're adding something righteous, you're not thinking about yourself. And you're looking to make somebody else's life a little bit easier. Can I tell you, the way to find happiness is not to seek it. It's help somebody else to find it. When you help somebody else to find happiness, you'll find that it's going to make you happy. You want to be loved? Stop looking to be loved. Turn it around and start looking to love somebody else. When you give love, you know what will happen? You'll be loved. I'm looking for a friend that can be the best friend that I ever could expect and ever could have in my life. I'm looking for that kind of friend. You'll never find it if you're looking for it. But if you determine, I'm going to be that friend, when you determine within your heart and your mind that I'm going to be that friend, before you know it, you'll have friends like that. You will. How do I know that? It's biblical principles. It's what God says. And what God says will work. Add something good. The most stressed out person in this auditorium tonight, the thing that will help you the most is look to help somebody else. Yeah. Don't think that you can't find happiness, contentment, or joy. Just look for it in the right place. Be obedient to what God commands. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's what God's trying to help Cain with. Cain didn't take the advice. Cain did not take the counsel. He went and killed Abel, which was the worst thing he could have ever done. Take God's advice tonight. Learn how to manage stress, how to deal with stress so that you have less of it. God will help you if you look to do it His way. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you and thank you, Lord God, for the very words that you have given to us that we have recorded and preserved that we might know the very mind and ways of God. And Lord, I know that you want your children to have a peace that passes understanding. I know you want to have your children have a joy in the midst of this sinful world. Lord, I pray tonight that we would have received this message. God, that it would make a difference as we look to apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be all that we can be and all that you would have us to be for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.